looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Stores, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXD-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Red Sox on the edge of another win. And a 2-2. Looked like he went. That is strike three. And that is the ball game. The Red Sox have won it by a final score of 9-6.
From the Town Fair Tire Studio, it is the Baseball Reporters here on 98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Jim Murray in for Tony Maserati tonight. Got Matt McCarthy, the host of Hardcore Baseball, the podcast, which you can hear on 98.5sportshub.com. Check that out. He's alongside as well, adding some legitimacy to the program tonight, which we very much need here, McCarthy. So I want to hear from you as well at 617-779-0985. That was the final call of last night's 9-6 win over the LA Angels at Fenway Park. Another ho-hum affair. Despite the efforts of the bullpen to put the game into the loss column, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But I make no apologies for calling that a ho-hum win, McCarthy, because they've owned this Angels team. And they're now 5-0 against them this year. They've scored at least 8 runs in all 5 of those games. And if anything, what I do need to apologize for is saying that the Angels were going to be better than the Red Sox going into the season. They stink. They stink just like every other team in the American League except for 3. The reigning champion Houston Astros, the New York Yankees, and your Boston Red Sox. That's it. I don't care about the Indians because they look like they still need a lot of help. I don't think that the Seattle Mariners are going to be a real threat, even if they ended up having to play them in a one-game playoff. The Red Sox, they would put Chris Sale out there, they'd dominate him, or he would dominate him, and it's on to the next round. I think the league stinks. The league really stinks, save for those 3 teams. So I have a hard time taking a lot of these games seriously, especially when they go 4 hours last night, and I know there's a lot to be happy about with this team through 81 games, and that's really where I want to start. We're at the official halfway mark of the season for the Red Sox. They are now 54-27 after last night's win. 81 games. Even a dummy like me can do that math, Matt. But looking at this game, this team, rather, through 81 games, I think there's 2 things. Looking at last night's game, bigger picture, I think there's 2 things you could take out of last night's game, bigger picture for this team, both a positive and a negative of the Boston Red Sox in 2018 through 81 games. 2 things that can't be argued about this team, and one is J.D. Martinez, and whether or not he keeps up this pace or comes close to it in the second half, hey, will remain to be seen. You know the ebbs and flows of this game as well as anybody else. You know there's going to be dips here. He's not going to be on the pace, you know, 25 home runs now after the one last night, you know, puts him on the pace now. I saw Jared Carrabba's tweet this for like 100 and something. We obviously know that's not going to happen, but he has made the biggest difference in this lineup. They wanted a power bat. They add this power bat. I mocked it at the time. He's been better than advertised.
I've been dead wrong. Dead wrong about J.D. Martinez.
So you were out on him too?
I was.
Okay.
I wasn't convinced that he could anchor a lineup because he had never done it before. He had never been the guy in a lineup. You know, it was Miguel Cabrera in Detroit. It was Paul Goldschmidt in Arizona. He goes to Arizona in a contract year, which is essentially Coors Field light. I mean, it's such a hitter's ballpark, Coors Light Field, if you want to call it that. And he hits like 29 home runs over the course of the second half of the season. You're like, he's not going to repeat that. Well, so far he's come to Fenway Park, which is a right-handed hitter, and has done nothing but pepper right center field with home runs, and has proven that it had nothing to do with the ballpark in Arizona. I'm blown away. I'm blown away by how good he is, because, Jim, when the Red Sox make a free agent signing, you're just so accustomed to saying, how is this going to go wrong? Because every time they go out on the market, it totally blows up in their face. He is the best signing they've had since Manny Ramirez, and there isn't even anyone, frankly, a close second as far as free agent signings go.
Yeah, and I got a little bit, you know, mocked by Felger in the afternoon show for saying that same thing. Like, right now, if he keeps up this pace, I'm with you. Like, he is the biggest free agent signing for this team, up there with Manny Ramirez or David Ortiz. He's been that important, and I think that you're not going to see that much of a dip. I'm with you. Like, when they weren't even in on Giancarlo Stanton, and the Yankees were the ones that ended up with Giancarlo Stanton, I was like, oh, please. J.D. Martinez, even a casual baseball fan wouldn't be able to pick him up out of a lineup, even if you had him, right? You know, even if they happen to watch a handful of games before the Arizona Diamondbacks. J.D. Martinez, he's been better than advertised, and I've been wrong. I mocked the signing, And it may, people like me look like a complete idiot. He's the real deal. So that's the one positive thing you can take more than anything else out of the 2018 Red Sox through 81 games so far. J.D. Martinez, better than advertised. 329, 25 home runs. Doesn't look like he's going to be letting up all that much. Now to the negative. The other takeaway that I think you can look at is this team as a whole through 81 games and that you see last night. And why I kind of poo-poo a win last night and why I still have a hard time taking this team seriously, even though they're right now on a pace for 108 wins, Matt.
Like, that's a product of the league.
It's a product of the league and the lack of competition. But even still, even though they've owned this Angels team and they're on pace for 108 wins, I still see the negative. I refuse to put my head in the sand with this team and just say, oh, nope, they're a buzzsaw. Nobody's going to be able to beat them. The rotation's been pitching real well. If they keep this up right now, they're a World Series favorite. No, because the other takeaway is this. The bullpen stinks. Everyone in that bullpen. Everyone in that bullpen. And you can even, and I know you'll want to, make a case for Craig Kimbrell being put on the wheel of gutless bums. But outside of him, because I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt for the ninth inning, Matt, everyone in that bullpen will be the death of this team this year, unless Dave Dombrowski can somehow find a better setup man for that eighth inning between now and the trade deadline.
Dave Dombrowski's bugaboo reared its ugly head again last night, and it's been his problem really throughout his
entire career.
I mean, if he had a bullpen in Detroit in 2013, you lose that ALCS. That was the difference, but Dave Dombrowski didn't build a bullpen there, and he hasn't built a bullpen here in Boston, and that's been his MO throughout his career. Every time the Red Sox go to Joe Kelly or to Matt Barnes, or to Heath Hembry, or any of the wheel of gutless bums in a high-leverage situation, just remember that Dave Dombrowski let Addison Reed walk at the end of last season because apparently he had some type of faith in Carson Smith and Tyler Thornburg. Smith is likely done for the year. Thornburg is still kind of struggling in the minor leagues. Like his rehab assignment is ending, I think, this weekend or within the next few days. It doesn't seem like the Red Sox are ready to bring this guy up yet. Like, he's probably never going to be the same guy. There's an issue there if they do not address this issue, Jim. And I think it's pretty obvious to say it will bite them in the ass in the end.
Yeah, that's the one thing that, look, and I'm one of these prove-it people. Because of the lack of competition, because of the way that they've fared in the last two postseasons, and they're out in that first round, I have a hard time taking it completely seriously, even though they're on this 108-win pace. But the bullpen, I don't know how anyone can look at last night's game and how the seventh inning unfolded and Alex Cora spinning the wheel of gutless bums once again and actually playing the hand correctly and that he went with Joe Kelly and then Matt Barnes. But any of those guys, like Matt just said, you cannot trust in a high-leverage situation, and this will be their ultimate demise unless a change is made there.
And the stats will say that they have a good bullpen. They have the fifth-best bullpen ERA in baseball right now, one behind Mike Felger's Milwaukee Brewers. But Joe Kelly against Seattle, the Yankees, and Houston, probably the three best other teams in the American League, Joe Kelly has an ERA of 5.5 against those teams. In his appearances, I think it's like 8 2/3 innings this year. Matt Barnes against those three teams, the good teams in the American League, has an ERA of 6. 6. Matt Barnes has given up 10 runs this year. 6 came against the Yankees and the Mariners alone.
Yeah, again, It's the one thing that's the negative takeaway from last night's game in the first 81 games thus far. The bullpen cannot be trusted. It's not good. Your guys' thoughts on this team through 81 games. What have you liked? What are the things that concern you? I don't know how it can't be the bullpen right at number one. 617-779-0985. There are little things. Look, and overall, don't, at the risk of being too Jonesian here, he comes in at 7. I haven't been affected this negatively yet. Like, look, they're an extremely good team. They're a really, really good team. But I have to take their wins with a little bit of a grain of salt because of the lack of competition throughout the league. I think that's okay to say.
Yeah, like, I mean, if the league wasn't so bad this year, are they more a 93 or 94 win team like they were last year? Probably, yeah. I mean, I think that's likely the difference. They're better this year because they have J.D. Martinez. Are they 7 or 8 wins better? I mean, they're going to win 100 games this year. They might. But you know what? The Yankees are probably going to win 100 this year, too. And to have two teams in the same division with 100-win seasons, like, I'll have to check. Has that like ever happened before?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't speak to that.
It speaks to how weak the rest of the league is. And the Yankees are taking advantage, too. And Houston's taking advantage. If you're good in the American League, you're winning 95 to 105 games this year. You are.
Another thing in the positive column real quick, though. I'll give it to Alex Cora thus far. Through the first 81 games, it's been more positive than negative for Alex Cora. Has he made some Concerning bullpen decisions, yeah, but what manager hasn't? And he's, look, he's a first-year manager also walking into maybe the most difficult job in terms of scrutiny in all of sports, manager of the Boston Red Sox. Everyone's going to get it, no matter what great decisions you might make, no matter how many titles you may end up winning. Hell, John Farrell won one, and we couldn't run him out of town fast enough, right? Alex Cora, for the most part, I think has done a really good job, and the approach has been better offensively. Has he done some things that have pissed me off, like bullpen management at times, Eduardo Nunez playing too much? Sure, but overall, through 81 games, hat tip to Alex Cora. And that's a positive.
And I think he's grown a little bit as an in-game manager, too, which is important. Like in April, I mean, he was making tons of stupid mistakes, like not pinch running for Christian Vasquez in that game against the Rays. Like, you can think of a number of times where he mismanaged the bullpen. Opening day is probably one. Last night is an example of growth from Alex Cora, because he went to Joe Kelly in the seventh inning instead of the eighth inning, because 2-3-4 was up in the Angels' order, Trout, Pujols. You want to have your best guy there. Cora recognized the situation in the game and adapted and went away from the book, and I don't know if he would have made that move in April.
All right, let's hear from you. The biggest positives and negatives of the 2018 Boston Red Sox, officially at the halfway mark, through 81 games. Let's hear from you at 617-779-0985, and we will touch again on the biggest negative of all, the wheel of gutless bums, the bullpen, next here on the Baseball Reporters 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Matt Barnes! Oh. Heath Henry! Joe Kelly! And those other guys!
It's time to spin the wheel of gutless bums! Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high-leverage situation late in the game? Now, let's spin the wheel!
Thornburg, Kelly, Henry, Barnes.
And today's gutless bum is Joe Kelly.
Ground ball snatched up. He's got it to fire into the outfield as the run scores. Runners will hold up at first and second as the throw comes back on a misfire by Kelly. That makes it a one-run game.
It wasn't his night, but then Barnes, he'd pick him up, and then Craig pick us up, and at the end, we ended up winning.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora on Joe Kelly, who was the gutless bum du jour last night. I've said it for a while now. Thus, the piece of production here on the Baseball Reporters, 98.5 Sports Hub. Jim Murray in for Tony Maz tonight. The decision to who to go with in a high-leverage situation late in the game, seventh, eighth inning. Alex Cora isn't actually, you know, doing any kind of Byzantine formula, Matt McCarthy. He's not talking to pitching coaches or anything like that. No, he spins the wheel of gutless bums. That's what's in the dugout. There's a wheel. They haul it out. They spin it. Who he lands on, that's who he goes with, because they're all the same. They're all the same. He even tried to do the right thing last night in the seventh inning, and he went with Joe Kelly instead of Matt Barnes, with Trout, Upton, Albert Pujols all due up. Now, they go into that inning 6-4. Rick Porcello starts to wear down a little bit, gives up the home run to Martin Maldonado, however the hell you pronounce it. But either way, in that seventh inning, here's the important thing in case you missed it last night. In comes Joe Kelly to face Mike Trout, Upton, Pujols. Gets Trout to pop out. All right. Okay.
Off and running.
Gives up a couple of singles, put runners on the corners, one out. And then Kelly, the shot right back to the mound. He bobbles it. He chucks it into center field, and all of a sudden we have a 6-5 game, and then they end up tying at 6-6. It's a microcosm of what you've seen from this bullpen in high-leverage situations through the first 81 games. That's why one of the biggest takeaways last night and overall through this first 81 games of the season, the bullpen is a disaster. It's going to catch up with them unless it's fixed between now and the trade deadline. Dave Dombrowski has to do something to add an arm and to get someone in there that is more reliable in the eighth inning. Who that is, I don't know. Maybe they can go back to Addison Reed out in Minnesota. I've seen that thrown around, because maybe that wouldn't be too much of a cost, even though he's a 2-year deal is what he signed with Minnesota. But still,
I don't think they want the contract.
Yeah, is that even a really good option? Like, again, their farm system is basically barren, so I don't know what kind of move that they can really make here. But something has to give, because you can't trust Kelly, Hembry, Matt Barnes, whoever, even Craig Kimbrell to come in the eighth inning to get you more than three outs. It's going to be this team's demise unless it's fixed.
Doesn't the Red Sox bullpen in many ways encapsulate this whole team? Like, their stats are very good. I mean, you know, top five bullpen ERA in baseball. Matt Barnes has like a 2.6 ERA. Joe Kelly with a 3 ERA. I mean, Craig Kimbrel dominant. Everything looks great on paper. But ultimately, I don't trust them when it counts. And I can kind of say that about this whole Red Sox team. Like, you get down to October, they might win 102 games this year, but I'm not sure I'm, you know, picking them to win the World Series. I'm not. I don't trust them when it counts. Just like the bullpen. They got to fix this, though. I mean, they do. Perhaps the good news, though, Jim, is that Kelvin Herrera, who got traded last week, didn't really go for all that much. So the market's been set a little bit lower here, which is good news for the Red Sox, because, as you said, their farm system is barren. But likely Dave Dombrowski is going to have to compete in kind of the middle of the market and identify a guy, like he did with Addison Reed last year, who can come in and be effective. I would just say that his track record doesn't necessarily point to that, because the bullpen has always been the problem for Dave Dombrowski.
All right, your guys' thoughts, though. Through 81 games, the positives and negatives of the 2018 Red Sox. Because it's not all bad. Again, if you're just tuning in now, you're like, oh, this a-hole, he's sitting in for Maz tonight, and he's even more negative than Maz normally is. No, there is good to take from this team. They're a really good team. Mm-hmm. They're a really good team. Bit of an asterisk I have to put on their 54 wins thus far, because the rest of the league pretty much stinks. But really good team, and J.D. Martinez is an absolute difference maker in that lineup. You have a legitimate MVP candidate again in Mookie Betts. Alex Cora, I think, has mostly done a really good job through the first 81 games, so it's not all bad. But I still need to see them prove it in October, and I don't trust the bullpen, and I make no apologies for that. 617-779-0985. Will in Weston, you're first up here on the Baseball Reporters tonight. Hey, Will.
How's it going?
Good, what's up?
I liked a lot of your points before the break about, you know, moves they have to make going forward. I know it was a great point how their ERA was, what, fifth in the league first half. But, you know, they got to make a big move to jump the Yankees and Houston and other teams like that. But it's right. They don't have much talent in the farm system. So Dombrowski's going to have to use his major league talent to acquire bullpen arms. You guys agree?
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought this up, because maybe I'm reading too much into this, but I want to get your thoughts on this. Again, Matt McCarthy, who hosts the Hardcore Baseball podcast, and this isn't just, you know, I'm just a guy filling in here. Baseball's not my forte. If this was the football show, then I'd feel a little bit more comfortable. McCarthy, you're a hardcore seamhead. Mm-hmm. Thus why you have the podcast Hardcore Baseball on 98.5thesportshub.com. But let me know if I'm reading into this too much, because yesterday the Red Sox signed Brandon Phillips, mm-hmm. Who's long in the tooth, wasn't playing in the majors or the minors this year, but in his prime, really good defensive second baseman, decent enough at the plate, around a, correct me if I'm wrong here, like a 270-ish type of hitter.
Yeah, at times he was better than that. I mean, he was a legitimate all-star, bona fide, one of the top five or six second basemen in baseball for really a long time.
So they signed Brandon Phillips. He's going to go to Pawtucket. Feels like it's all a matter of time before he'll be with the big club. Ken Rosenthal, Fox Sports, followed with a tweet that said a source told him that Phillips was going to be playing third base for AAA Pawtucket. So when I read that, I was like, well, okay, maybe this doesn't have anything to do with Dustin Pedroia probably not coming back, and Eduardo Nunez basically being a liability thus far. By the way, another negative through 81 games. Eduardo Nunez not giving you what he gave you when he first came here last year. Is Phillips playing third because Rafael Devers is going to be traded, and Rafael Devers could potentially be going to the Baltimore Orioles, because that's been rumored before for Manny Machado and Zach Britton? So you kind of get the two-for-one deal. So it's like, you know, prospects or whatever, and Rafael Devers to the Orioles for Machado, and then you have to figure out whether or not he'll stay past the rest of the season later. But you get Machado and maybe Britton, and now you have your setup man, and you're no longer worrying about third base because Machado will play third. Phillips is the backup there. Or he just plays second base because Pedroia won't be coming back.
A couple of things on that. One, I don't think the Red Sox are interested in trading Rafael Devers. I think they'd have to be blown away. And Sean McAdam was on the show this week and kind of alluded to that. But also, in regards to Phillips, I think the Red Sox are looking for just simply more flexibility. He's going to come up, and he'll probably be an option at second base because Dustin Pedroia, you can't count on him to come back this
year. I
mean,
it feels like he's done. Like, he ain't going to be back this season.
No, I would not count on that. But you want Phillips to also be able to play some third base as well because, you know, defensively, late in games, you want to make that switch, pull Devers out. I mean, he's not a good defensive third baseman. I think this is more of the Red Sox looking for versatility because if Phillips goes to Pawtucket and hits enough and proves that he belongs in the big leagues, which I still think he has to do, I mean, this guy was out of baseball, essentially, until now. If he goes there and he can hit enough, I think the Red Sox would love to bring him up and try him at second and third base and move some parts around. Like, they've got an open spot at DH. If JD Martinez is going to see some time in the outfield, you could DH Devers, put Phillips at third. I think they're just looking for more versatility. I wouldn't look into Phillips playing third base at Pawtucket as some type of indication that they're going to trade Rafael Devers. I don't see that happening.
See, I see that, and I try to think positive, and my eyes get too big, and you stomp out my dreams right there. So then what can they do? What can Dave Dombrowski do in terms of everday players that he might be able to move, and it's not going to hurt this team's future? I mean, look, if anything, they probably should have tried to move high on Blake's sell high on Blake Swihart, and he gets worse by the game, at least at the plate. Like, it feels like they're not going to be able to get any kind of return for him. So what kind of move, at least, and I'm sorry to put you on the spot here, but, is there anyone in mind in terms of a decent enough arm that they could get in that bullpen for someone that they could take off this team, like maybe a Jackie Bradley Jr., or Stephen Wright, that's not going to hurt them long term?
I don't think they'll be able to compete at the top of the market. There was the rumor this past week that the Red Sox, John Paul Morosi said that the Red Sox had reached out to San Diego about Brad Hand, who's one of the most dominant closers in the National League. And San Diego said, sure, if you send us Rafael Devers, which I don't think they're going to do. I don't think the Sox are going to be able to go out and get somebody that good. However, I think they can compete in the middle of the market. Maybe they can strike a deal with the Orioles, and they've got a million guys. Michael Givens, Brad Brock. Zach Britton is entering a free agent year, and we still don't know what he is. I think there are a lot of options for them out there, and they might be able to deal kind of from the middle of their farm system. They got Addison Reed last year for essentially nothing, like three guys in single A who, weren't highly touted. So I think you can still get bullpen arms cheaply enough. Hell, the Royals just, the Nationals just did that with Kelvin Herrera. I think they'll be able to get somebody good, maybe not Brad Hand good. It's just ultimately up to Dave Dombrowski to identify the right guy and the right fit.
All right, your guys' thoughts again. We'll continue to take this. The Red Sox through 81 games officially at the halfway mark tonight as they wrap up this series against the LA Angels tonight with Brian Johnson on the mound for the Red Sox. Through 81 games, the negatives, the positives. What do you think? 617-779-0985. Another quick positive. Because I don't want to make it sound like I'm all negative here, bashing this bullpen, which is going to be the bugaboo of this team going forward, unless it's fixed. The aggressiveness at the plate, the new approach, gone are the days of work the count, take a strike, sit here. The aggressiveness, it's obviously benefited guys like Xander Bogaerts. See, another positive for the Red Sox in 2018 through 81 games.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ah, yes, rest in peace, Big Pun. Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Big Jim Murray in for Tony Maserati tonight alongside host of Hardcore Baseball, Matt McCarthy, and you at 617-779-0985. Officially halfway through the season for the 2018 Red Sox, 81 games, a record of 54-27. They're great. Maybe the best team in baseball. Although, if I had my whiteboard and markers that I had when I was talking about the Celtics, a.k.a. the Bridgies, a couple of seasons back on Felger and Mass, I'd have that asterisk ready to go with this Red Sox season because I have to take a lot of these wins, the 54 wins, with a grain of salt, McCarthy, like last night's, like any of these games that they've played against the Angels. Again, now 5-0 against this team. They wrap up this series tonight. And in all of these games, they've scored at least 8 runs. Everyone sucks, except for the Red Sox, the Astros, and the Yankees in the American League. So, okay, but, they're cleaning up against bad competition. Good. But what else can you take out of the first 81 games of this season? Positives, negatives. 617-779-0985. Let's go to Angelo in Methuen. You're next here to the Baseball Reporters. Hey, Angelo.
How you doing, Murray?
Good. How are you?
One time. Good. I have to agree some of the comments Jerry Remy made. I don't think the Red Sox have the best outfield in the American League.
In terms of...
What I mean is, you got two great players, Betts and Bradley. But Benintendi is not a great outfielder. I would give him a C+.
Oh, so you're just talking in terms of defense.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think of that, Matt?
I think their outfield defense is very good. I don't think Benintendi is spectacular or anything, but listen, at Fenway Park, at left field, you don't need great defense. It's still one of the best defensive outfields the Red Sox have had in my lifetime.
Ball over your head, what do you do? Turn around. Look at the wall.
Yeah, pretty much. Play it off the wall, hold the guy to a single, maybe, if you play it right. It is still, though, one of the best defensive outfields that I've seen in my lifetime, because Bradley's good. Betts is obviously outstanding. He's the best defensive right fielder they've had since Dwight Evans. It's not even close. But, I mean, they can afford less outfield defense. Like, if they want to take Bradley out of the lineup and move Benintendi to center, where he's average at best, maybe even below average, and put J.D. Martinez, who is a butcher in left field, I'll do it to get some more pop in the lineup. I don't think outfield defense will be a problem, even if they're trotting out their worst defensive alignment out there.
Yeah, I don't fully trust Benintendi, especially on the road when he's in left. I'm with you there. Like, he's not as solid as the other two defensively, but I don't look at that as a big negative.
No.
However, through the first 81 games, if we're bringing up Andrew Benintendi, let's bring up another negative about the 2018 Red Sox through the first 81. The base running. Oh, my God. How is this continue to be such a problem? Jimmy Stewart, sorry to put you on the spot here. So Andrew Benintendi, it seems like every other night he's screwing up with a base pass. Are they on pace to what they did last year in terms of how many outs that they ran into?
They were on pace for 71 as of last week.
And didn't they have 70 or 71 last year?
And they had 81 last year.
81, okay.
So this hasn't been fixed, which, I mean, is it last year it was all, we're going to be aggressive on the base pass, and that was John Farrell's
plan. No, it's simple. They are a low IQ baseball team.
Agreed.
That's what they are.
So again, another negative there.
Fundamentals.
Low IQ, no baseball intelligence. As Maz would say, they're stupid.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
Stupid.
Don in the car, next here on the Baseball Report. Hey, Don.
Hey, Murray, what are you talking about where your biggest worry is the bullpen? We have David Price on our team. In October, he's mush. The only, you know, at least you can save the bullpen by throwing David Price's ass back there. He's useless in October.
In October's thus far, Don, but right now, I mean, you could basically flip a coin between him or Chris Sale, who your real ace is. I mean, Price has been ridiculous over his last nine starts. He has. I know, look. I've made almost a career of bashing him since he's joined this team 3 years ago and doing the stupid impersonation and whatnot. Many of you love it, and I appreciate that. Thank you. And I think I'm going to keep it up because there is some sort of weird mental connection that goes on here with this player being bashed and living to be hated. And the performance that you see on the field, you saw that last year in the postseason coming out of the pen, and this year as a starter. So I'm going to keep it up, and we all should. I think that's how you get the best out of this mental case. But right now, I don't know. I trust David Price. Do I trust him in October? No, but that's not a worry for me. If anything, if we keep this up and maybe he's snapped and he needs to be hated to pitch well, it really wouldn't shock me if he had some kind of John Lackey turnaround, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, it would be insanity to move him to the bullpen in the playoffs. I'm sorry. He should have been starting last year. Like, they babied him too much. Like, he should have started one of those games, even if he could have only given you 4 to 5 innings. He should have been starting last year. He's got a 3.66 ERA. He's your second-best starter. You want to move that guy to the bullpen? I know he sucked in the postseason as a starter. Like, I mean, that's you know, bright as the sun. You can see it. But you're not moving him to the bullpen. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. Save the save like your nerd stats and breakdowns and whatnot. Just use your eyeball test through the first 81 games. Concerns and negatives and positives. So David Price has not been a negative. He hasn't at all. He's been one of the bright positives through the first 81 games. This last 9-game stretch, he has been maybe their best pitcher. So not worried about him for now. The bullpen? The bullpen is a massive negative. You see it again last night. Again, anyone that you name in there. Hembry, Kimbrell, anything beyond a ninth inning save. Joe Kelly, Matt Barnes, whoever. Put them on the wheel of gutless bums. Spin, who you land on, it doesn't really matter. They're all the same.
By the way, Jim, the Red Sox currently lead Major League Baseball in outs on the bases. And they are on pace for 68, so that is an improvement over 81 last year.
Dave in Maynard on Addison Reed, is that who you wanted to talk about?
Well, yeah, I mean, you guys are throwing, I mean, this has been really incredible to listen to. I mean, you're trying to make up negatives for a team that's 27 games over 500. You're telling us that stats don't matter in the bullpen in 81 games. And you're talking about Addison Reed's the answer. Addison Reed is 1-5 with like a 3.6 ERA. He's given up a hit per inning. So I mean, you know, you're just throwing out nonsense, absolute nonsense. How do stats not matter? There are four teams that have better stats than them in the bullpen, and each of those four teams has more blown saves.
Well, Dave, all right, to your point. We're just going to on stats. Joe Kelly has been mostly
so
excellent.
What do you want to trade for? You want to trade for another Carson Smith or that bum down in Pawtucket?
What bum down in Pawtucket?
Thornburg.
Tyler Thornburg? No, look.
Yeah. Those were Dombrowski's last couple of moves in the bullpen.
Dave, something has to be done here. What that is, I don't know. You tell me. Give me a name.
I don't need another name. I mean, and then you start talking about trading Nunes. Seriously, do you even watch baseball?
Eduardo
Nunez? I've never heard of him in my life.
I didn't talk about trading to Eduardo Nunez.
He would be opposed to trading Eduardo Nunez. What is Eduardo Nunez giving you?
That's fine. David
Maynard.
Kind
of
team baseball? Lead and outs on the bases.
David Maynard had an axe to grind. Tell you what, if you didn't like the show and you think you could do better, go buy the equipment. I think Guitar Center still exists. I think the one on Comm Ave is still there. Get yourself a mixer, a nice microphone. I would recommend a Electro Voice RE20.
Great recommendation.
A little bit pricey, $300 to $400, but you want to have good audio quality. The mixer, good microphone, some XLR cables, probably run you about $550. It's worth the investment if you really want a podcast. Then get yourself something you can record on. Mac. Laptop of your choice, PC, whatever, and then start your own podcast that no one will listen to. Jack in Rhode Island, you're next here on the Baseball Reporters. Go ahead, Jack.
So, Jim, how you doing, man?
Good. Hi.
What about sort of like, it's not as sexy as going after Machado or Britton, but the Mets are blowing it up. What about going after Familia and Asdrubal Cabrera? I think that they sort of both fill needs.
Well,
Cabrera's a switch hitter too. Hit from both sides of the. I think they both only have this year left on their deal. Probably don't need to give up a whole lot to go get them.
Yeah, Jack, at the risk of contradicting myself, so I'm like a pseudo-Mets fan only because I've loved that rotation over the last handful of years, so I have kind of paid attention to them and what they're, I mean, they're like, I think, four games away from the Marlins, who are tanking. What
disaster.
The Mets are this year is an embarrassment. Jury's Familia stinks. So at the risk of contradicting myself, and even though they need another arm here and a more reputable setup man, Jury's Familia is a mental case and a blown save waiting to happen. I'm good. I'm not moving anybody for that guy.
Oh, I disagree.
Really?
I think Familia is the type of guy, if he got a change of scenery, and you're not going to have to pay to get Jury's Familia what you'd have to pay to get somebody like Brad Hand. Like, these are the types of guys the Red Sox might have to be in the market for. I love Familia's stuff. I do. I mean, I'm not sure if I necessarily trust him, but is he a better option than Joe Kelly? Like, in the end, he might be.
So this is what we're looking at here. It's going to be reclamation projects, mm-hmm. guys that have burnt out on a club like a Familia with the New York Mets. Like, that's what they're going to end up having.
I think there's a chance you end up with somebody like that. Yeah, I do.
All right. Well, great. That makes me feel good looking forward. So a lot of people want to call about these Mets pitchers now because they have gone on today and recently and said that both Noah Syndergaard and Jacob deGrom are available. I don't know what the Red Sox could even give. The farm system is barren, but go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I heard on MLB Network, they just said that the Indians are going to go really hard after deGrom. So if they make a move like that, can the Red Sox counter and possibly get one of those two guys? I would sell everything to try to get, you know, either one of those guys, and then, you know, you risk it all like the Cubs did going after the closer Chapman over there.
Jay, I'm with you. Both those guys are studs. They're under team control. I think DeGrom is signed through 2021, Syndergaard through 2022.
Correct.
Legitimate studs, and I would love to have them in a Red Sox uniform, either one. They're not going to be able to make any kind of move worthy with these guys. Even if they move someone like Mookie Betts, which I wouldn't want them to do, but like any deal would have to start with him or someone like that. And even then, you'd have to throw in more prospects, which the Red Sox don't have. I just don't think that they'd be able to make a move for either of those two guys.
I don't see it being possible. I mean, I think it is impossible for the Red Sox to get DeGrom or Syndergaard. They don't have the ammunition. And if the Red Sox did have the ammunition, it would be off the big league roster. And I don't think that's what the Mets are looking for. They're probably looking for 3 to 4, you know, kind of top guys from the minor league system. So you're going to be dealing with organizations that are loaded in minors right now. I don't know if Cleveland has the ammunition to get. They're like a bottom 10 farm system, too.
So you
I don't
mentioned
think they
some
got them.
National League teams, right? Like the mm-hmm. Dodgers, the Brewers,
Braves.
When we talked about it in the afternoon show, Braves, mm-hmm. something like that. So
yeah. I think he's going to
It's not like they're going to deal with the Yankees.
Probably not. However, the Yankees would have what it takes to get DeGrom or Syndergaard. Maybe in a strange, bizarre world it could happen, but the Yankees would have the pieces to do it. They would.
Let's go to Mike in Rockland. You're next here on the Baseball Reporters. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, Murray?
What's up?
So I'm not convinced that the Red Sox are really that good at this point. There's a total lack of competitive teams right now. and they're pretty evenly matched with the Yankees. The Yankees have much more pieces to make a major Machado-like trade at the deadline. And if the Yankees make some big trade and kind of take an edge in the division, you're looking at a potential wild card game at that point. I mean, the Red Sox would actually end up in the wild card as good as they've been, and then all bets are off at that point. I mean, I have no faith whatsoever if the bullpen in the wild card game. So I want to know what you thought about that. Thanks for taking my call.
I don't know. Maybe I'm taking too much out of this last series with Seattle and how good Chris Sale was against that Seattle team. I mean, I know they got a couple of good hitters in that lineup, but who was the kid that they got from Tampa that's now there? It's a Red Sox killer.
Denard Span.
Denard Span. You know, there's a couple of guys that can kill you in that lineup, but I don't know. Chris Sale against that Mariners team in a one-game playoff, I don't sweat that. I'm not really that worried about it. I think that they're kind of a fraud.
I don't sweat Chris Sale against the Mariners. I sweat Joe Kelly or Matt Barnes pitching in the eighth inning against Nelson Cruz in a big situation in that ballgame. That's what I sweat.
Fair. And this is why we've talked about the bullpen. Why are you bringing up stats talking about the bullpen? 54-win team. Blah, blah, blah. I don't need the stats. I use my eyeballs. There's no one you can trust in this bullpen right now in a high-leverage situation in the seventh and eighth inning. I go to the games. I watch the games. Yes, it's the job. A lot of them I watch in the condensed version, sure, but I pick up on the nuances. All right, pal. Dylan, by the way, I hope you didn't take that as a knock against Hardcore Baseball, podcast.
I did not.
Saying if that gentleman
not one
started
bit.
A podcast, no one would listen
that
to it.
That does it out of a real radio station, from what I understand, Jim.
That's right. Real radio. That's where it's at.
As opposed to my WrestleCast that is done from my home office computer.
Dylan in Barnstable, you're next here on the Baseball Reporters. Go ahead, Dylan.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I just want to see your opinion on Brock Holt this season. You think he's having a good year, and you think he should be getting some more time at second over Nunez? I don't really understand why they're platooning. I feel like Holt's having a good enough season to be playing way more than him.
Yeah, look, I think that Holt should be at second base more than Nunez at this point because he sucks both defensively and at the plate. But Brock Holt is also going to be exposed the more that you play him, too. That situation is what it is. As much as I need something to be added to this bullpen, or at least maybe an arm I can trust, McCarthy, they still could use help at catcher and at second base. Like, there's more moves. There's another bat that could be added here between now and the trade deadline.
They absolutely need another bat. A right-handed bat, a big league hitter to put in the lineup. Doesn't matter where that player plays, to be totally honest. They just need another right-handed option. Quickly on Pedroia, this isn't just this year, Jim. This is for 3.5 years, we're going to be trying to figure out what to do at second base because they're going to try and keep a spot for Pedroia and he's not going to be able to play. You better figure something out.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.